Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, our helper and advocate, open our hearts and minds this day. Entice us with your presence. Spark us with a word of life, a message that we may share with others as we speak to live Christ's love in the world. All this we ask in the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible, Acts 17, 22 through 31. Paul stood up in the middle of the council on Mars Hill and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. As I was walking through town and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What you worship as an unknown, I now proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, is Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with human hands, nor is God served by human hands, as though he needed something, since he is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else. From one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. God made the nations so they would seek him, perhaps even reach out to him and find him. In fact, God isn't far away from any of us. In God we live, move, and exist. As some of your own poets said, we are his offspring. Therefore, as God's offspring, we have no need to imagine that the divine being is like a gold, silver, or stone image made by human skill and thought. God overlooks ignorance of these things in times past, but now directs everyone everywhere to change their hearts and lives. This is because God has set a day when he intends to judge the world justly by a man he has appointed. God has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, for how you continue to speak. And you speak even when we're not listening, when we're distracted, when we're not paying attention. You continue to speak because you love us. And you always will. Keep us open in some small way to continue to receive that truth right now. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I heard a news story about a church called Wild Goose Church. It's in the Appalachian region of Virginia. Now, I know that there are churches that have these names, because the church that I served as a student pastor in seminary was called Rum Creek United Methodist Church. Now, if there are things that did not go together, rum and United Methodist, you know what I'm saying. Wild Goose Church in Appalachia in Virginia has decided to approach church in a whole different way. Now, it's a small one-room church. And I know Rum Creek wasn't that much bigger. Small country church out in West Ohio. Still there. In fact, it's just celebrated 150 years of existence. Little white country church, red doors, beautiful. But Wild Goose Church was dying, and so they decided to do a few different things. And there was an individual pastor and musician who came in and decided to take out all of the pews. They had, you know what pews are? They're like the big long things, sit sometimes quite uncomfortable. They're that way to keep you awake during the sermon, or if your head starts dipping, you hit against the wood in front of you and you wake up. That's not actually why they were made, but we'll go with it. They took out all of those and they put in rocking chairs. The choir is already considering that. I could see them, the percolating in their minds. There's space for rocking chairs up here. And instead of an altar area, they took all of that out and they put in a fireplace. I kid you not. And the music is much more something that would be appropriate, more folk music, that kind of thing, and some of the traditional folk hymns that were sung. And what was interesting to me, whenever I heard this, is I thought, you know, I don't have a problem with any of that. Now, your pastor will not be going down to Cracker Barrel with a rental truck this week and buying all the rocking chairs. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. However, how we take in what's taking place around us and allow God to speak into what's taking place around us and allow, be open and vulnerable to God to use us and to use our gifts to speak a word of good news, that, my friends, is something that we can be stretched by, but also we're called to participate in. In other words, how is God calling us to speak the good news and sometimes to speak it in a different way? In a way that maybe we don't find comfortable, or a way that goes against the seven last words of the church. You know what they are? We've never done it that way before. As soon as the church puts that on a banner, crown him with many crowns, oh come let us adore him, our God is an awesome God, and we've never done it that way before. As soon as we put that on the banner, it's done. It's a club, not a church. Paul is frustrated heading into this speech. I need to go ahead and share that with you. He's just been thrown out of Thessalonica. Literally. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says that there were people who were, can I say in church, ticked off? Can I say that? Is that okay? I did. I apologize for anybody's sensitivities that has offended. But, you know, he's really been stirring up stuff. And then there's other people that got, and in the New Revised Standard Version, it actually uses this word, they got ruffians. Ruffians. You know what ruffians are? Do you know a ruffian? Are you sitting next to a ruffian right now? Some of you are shaking your head vigorously in the second row. Yes, amen, preacher, preach it. But he got together ruffians, okay? And specifically to chase him out of town. To chase Paul and Timothy and Silas. They were about as upset as that, actually, about what Paul was doing. No question about it. And they were chasing them out of Thessalonica, okay? And so Paul's sitting there, and he's waiting for them to show up. He's frustrated. He's disappointed. And he starts looking around Athens. Now, Athens was a place of great learning. And in fact, the Athenians were known as the people of debate. They were very open to all sorts of ideas, but they never really latched on to one. Okay? Some would say that Athens and the Athenians were kind of isolated from the rest of the world because they lived in this world of debate and discussion and you wonder sometimes whenever you read this particular speech if they ever got anything done. Paul is looking around and he notices that there are idols all over the place. Idols to Zeus, to Mars, to all sorts of gods. An idol that you pray for to get this done, another idol that you pray for to get this done, another idol that you pray for to get this done, and then there's even an unnamed one just so that no one's offended. There's an unnamed God, and so if we haven't created an idol for your God, okay, that's the one, okay? Just don't get mad at us. And he starts his speech in the Areopagus, rented lips. And it was a place of debate and discussion. So it was well known. And in that speech, a couple of the verses, he even references Greek philosophers and language that they specifically used. But Paul does it in an engaging way, in a way that brings people in, and in a way that connects with them. He doesn't start beating them over the head saying how bad they are, but rather he says, well, I notice how religious you are. Sure do have a lot of idols. And he talks about that, and he speaks to that. And in the Greek culture, the idea of God as creator would not have necessarily been a foreign concept, okay? God as creator would not necessarily have been out of the realm of possibility. But then, later on in his speech, and understand, he's a little bit frustrated, okay? Because he's been run out of another town. His friends haven't arrived yet. Have you ever been in a caravan and you've been waiting for people to catch up? Or maybe you've been the person that's been late and you show up, and what kind of looks do you get? So, you know, he's not in the best of mood, but that's one of the reasons why I think this is such a marvelous witness and testimony. Because even though Paul was not in the best place, even though he was not in the best mood, even though he was frustrated and had just dealt with a defeat, as the world would define it, who does he continue to point to? God. He continues to point towards God because he knows that even though he might have experienced a defeat, even though he's frustrated, even though he's been beaten down by life, Gus, who never stops working. Towards the second part of his talk, this discussion, he references how he knows God and how he knows that God never stops working. He references the name that he has claimed now, the name of Jesus the Christ. And he points towards that. Now, this is where he was probably going to get into some hot water again. Yeah, he had mentioned some Greek philosophers. He'd even kind of complimented them for their religiosity and even referenced some of their philosophers, a couple of phrases. But now he's going into a whole other realm of understanding and truth as far as he saw it. But in what had been unleashed in the world as well. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that, the resurrection being unleashed into the world, but it is. It's something that came, and God's grace is not tamed, and God's grace and love are powerful, and they will change you whether you like it or not. And God loves you whether you like it or not. And there's an intimacy with God now because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And that is where Paul starts going. And he starts challenging them just with his words, not in your face, but saying, folks, you can no longer be wishy-washy. and just worshiping this and that and doing whatever feels good. But rather, God wants you to feel really good. God wants you to feel love in the deepest way possible. God wants you to be saved, and He has sent Jesus just for that purpose. For us, these words are more than words, aren't they? They're what help define us this very day and this very moment. Because what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, because of the resurrection, we now always have hope. Let me add that word. We always have hope. Whenever we say hope, sometimes we forget we always have hope. Not just when things are going well, not just when prayer has been answered in a way that we hope, but we always have hope because of the resurrection. Now, those words of Paul about the resurrection, those also confronted his hearers, those who were listening, because the Greeks certainly didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So this is a whole new concept. Yet Paul knew that he had to be faithful to how God was speaking into him and through him. And I think that's probably my question to myself every morning. Before I shave, before I polish my head, before I get ready to face the day, how am I being faithful to how God has called me through Jesus Christ? I am never, ever going to ask a question of faith that I haven't already struggled with myself. I guarantee you that. I'm never going to ask you a question of faith that I have not already faced and continue to face. I guarantee you that. And so Paul, in sharing what he did with the Athenians, simply puts before them the truth that he knows, that he carries in his heart, and that he continues to churn over again and again in his mind and heart and his body. Now, it was a different way of worship, certainly. But it was a way of worshiping God that was truly focused on God and God alone. Blaise Pascal, who was a French mathematician, scientist, and also theologian, describes an infinite abyss that exists in us that only God can fill. And Augustine, another saint, speaks of, in essence, a God-shaped hole in us where only God can fit. Were the Athenians looking for something to satisfy them? Yes. They had a multitude of gods and idols, and they were looking all over the place for something to really fill that place inside of them that only God could fill. And then Paul comes and speaks to them about how God wants to fill that hole through Jesus. And so Paul comes today also across the ages and speaks to each and every one of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, about how God wants to fill that hole in us with Jesus as well. So the question, once again, how are we being faithful to how God is speaking into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives? I think you've heard this before, but let me share it again. God loves you more than you can imagine, whether you like it or not. God is going to continue to love you. And God wants to is seeking to fill you. Whatever you think that you're lacking, God wants to sustain you. God wants to uplift you. God wants to mold you And God is seeking to do it all through a saving relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. In these times, when we're pulled in all sorts of directions, maybe we've become distracted from God, and maybe we're worshiping something else. Who knows? It's not my place to judge. I don't have that job. I don't want it. But if we are worshiping something else, if our distractions are pulling us in other directions, and if it's something other than God, guess what? Wonderful opportunity right here, right now, simply to say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours through Jesus. I know how much you love me. You always will. Thank you for Jesus. A simple prayer like that, an openness that we have to how God is already speaking into our lives. Would you join me as His children in praying together, opening ourselves to God's grace?